he might offer it as a sacrifice for sin. And the Father accepted the sacrifice and was well pleased with it. And surely it would be blasphemy to say that God the Father accepted his atoning death as a sacrifice for sin, and then he failed to deliver them for whom he died. Certainly that would be blasphemy. And I think that's what Peter is, one of the things he is talking about here, that there shall be many false prophets. The Lord Jesus said the same thing in the 24th chapter of Matthew, when the disciples asked him, when the Lord Jesus said that the stones of the temple, he said there would not be one left upon another. And they said, well, when shall these things be? And when shall the end of the world be? And that chapter was devoted to answering those three questions. And it's true that a great part of it took place in A.D. 70 when the temple was destroyed and there was not a stone left upon another. And many of the Jews were sent back into bondage to Egypt, from which they were delivered by Moses. They were sold back into slavery. And the temple was destroyed just as the Lord said that it would. But the gospel has gone into all the world just as he said it would. And he said, then shall the end be, when this gospel has been preached in all the world for a witness against them. Then shall the end come. So that's another sign that we are close to the end of this world, because the gospel has been preached in all the world as a witness against the world, who are enemies with God. Jesus said, if any man loved the world, he is an enemy with God. And so we have the devil, we have our sinful flesh, and we have the world that are our major enemies in this life. But we have something better than all of that. He that is in you, the scripture says, is greater than he that is in the world. So Christ, who takes up his abode in the hearts of his dear children, he binds the strong man and spoils his goods. Isn't that wonderful? He says a strong man will not suffer his house to be broken into, nor his goods to be spoiled. But when one stronger than he comes, he says he binds the strong man and spoils his goods. And beloved, that's what happens when we're born into this world, lovers of the world, lovers of the flesh, lovers of sin. And then one day, by the grace of God, he comes and he binds the strong man. And the things you once loved, now you hate. And the things you once hated, now you love. It's a great mystery, but when we read the Word of God, it's all so plain, and it unveils to us these great mysteries of the kingdom of God. The apostles one time asked him, said, why do you speak to them in parables? He said, because it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but it is given unto you. Beloved, to have the truth of God revealed to your soul is a great miracle, and it's a wonderful deliverance to have the truth as your very own. When I see millions and billions that despise what they call Christianity and are fanatical about their own religion, and they are under what they called an oath to make the world serve God according to their Quran and according to their religion. And they think that that is their mission. to subjugate the world to their religion. And if you're not willing, why then they have the authority to kill you. And they go about to do that. But Christ has admonished his people to be at peace with all men as far as possible. And we are to be submissive to kings and to governors and to magistrates. We are to obey the law and to help the poor and to labor with our own hands that we might provide for ourselves and for those that have not. That's the kind of instructions the Lord gives his people. And what a contrast. So there are many false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. You know, Elijah confronted 450 prophets at one time. They were the prophets of Baal. And he confronted them and had them to call down fire. They put a sacrifice, built an altar, killed a lamb and put him on the altar to offer to God. And it hadn't rained in 3 years. But he said, dig a trench around the altar and fill it up with water. And I guess water was pretty precious. But he had them dig a trench and fill it up with water. And the prophets of Baal, they cut themselves and they danced. And they prayed and they did everything they could think of to call down fire from heaven. But none came. And Elijah prayed and fire came down from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, licked up the water in the trench. And the 450 prophets said, God, the Lord, he is God. He is God. And Elijah killed 450 prophets. He killed them all. And then there were 400 others besides them, the scripture says. So that's 850 prophets to one Elijah. Christ said, there shall come many in my name saying, I am the Christ, but go not after them. Many false teachers shall arise. Where are they? There was 850 to Elijah's one. And the Apostle Peter is telling us that just as it was in those days, so shall it be among you. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. You notice he changed from prophets in that day into teachers in our day. And the scriptures are complete now. We don't need men to be moved by the Holy Ghost to speak the word of God, that we might have it written down as a testimony against all of the world, because the scriptures are complete and we have all that we need here that we might serve God acceptably. And what a wonderful blessing it is to believe that it is the word of God. What a blessing to sit down and to read. And when you are reading, to believe that you are reading the very words of God. And not read it to critique it, to decide what is right and what is wrong. And we watch some of these television programs sometimes about the Bible. And it seems to me like that the main purpose is to deny that the scriptures are real. Are true, rather. Not real, but true. It seems like the main focus is to make sure that somehow the scriptures are not real, are not true. That they they are contradictions. We were reading just right recently of a doctor, a woman doctor. She had that picture in the paper, and she was talking about the contradictions in the Bible. And I was trying to think of, escaped my mind right now, but the two scriptures that she quoted appear that they might be contradictions, but when you put them in their context, there's no contradiction there at all. But if you have a mindset to try to disprove the Bible, you can find to your liking things that seems to be a contradiction. But the Word of God is true, and if men wrote these words or spake them as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, why, they are absolutely true. The Holy Ghost, the Comforter, is one of the three persons of the Godhead, and he is equal in all characteristics, just as God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and these three are one, and they are equal in all aspects of their characteristics. And so the the Bible, the Word of God, we can put full confidence that they are the Word of God. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And those that devise and wrest the scriptures and add to and take those things away that they might teach their own doctrines, speak evil of those that hold firmly to the truth and do not want to deviate or add to or take away, and they speak evil of them. And we certainly have experienced some of that and ourselves, and we know that from down through history that it is that is one reason that from the year 600 to about the year up the 1400s and some, I think they were called the Dark Ages. And one reason is that those that were in power and in authority that time did not and would not have the scriptures, have let the lay people have a Bible of their own. Of course, Bibles are very scarce, and it took a lot of effort to copy the Bible down by hand. But in the 1400s, when 15th century, the printing press was invented, and the reason that Martin Luther was able to bring about or be instrumental in bringing about what is known as the Reformation was because a printing press had been invented. 100 years before him, about 100 years, not quite 100, a man by the name of John Huss lived in what's called Bavaria now, in parts of Germany. He did the very same thing that Martin Luther did. He came out from what was known as a Roman Catholic Church, and he protested and came out from them, and they burned him at the stake. But his teaching did not find as much prosperity and spread of Martin Luther because there was no printing press, no way to get out the information and spread it around. It didn't have trains and automobiles and motorcycles and electricity, so news traveled pretty slow. But when Martin Luther came along and the printing press was invented, well, then these things were published and were caused the Reformation. But Baptists are not Protestants. That is, they did not come out of the Catholic Church and protest like the Lutherans did, or the Moravians did, or the Presbyterians, or the Methodists. They never were in the Catholic Church. Long before Martin Luther and John Huss, thousands and thousands of Anabaptists were slaughtered before they ever lived, because they would not acknowledge the authority of the papacy. And they were branded as heretics and hunted down just like criminals. When in during those years, if you were branded a heretic, a citizen had the right to kill you, just like we have the right to kill a man that's declared an outlaw today by the government. Anybody can arrest that outlaw. You don't have to be a policeman to do it. If you're declared an outlaw, anybody can arrest that person. And when you were declared a heretic, anybody could kill you and receive praise for it. And so there was an estimated 30 million Waldensians and Alba Johnsons and Novations, different times and different places. They went by different names, but they were all Anabaptists, which means rebaptized. Anabaptist means that if you join them, you have to be baptized, because they don't recognize the baptism of these other churches of that time, the Roman Catholic Church. And so they were called Anabaptists because they rebaptized. And they were hunted down like animals. But as the Word of God said, that power and authority was consumed by the sword of his mouth, which means the Word of God. And it will be destroyed at the brightness of his coming. The office of the papacy will be here until the Lord comes, but his power will be diminished more and more by the Word of God. And when you know the truth shall make you free. And if the Son make you free, you are free indeed. And so we rejoice in the privilege we have of having access to the Church of Christ, the Church that Christ has set up, which is the pillar and ground of the truth, the Church of the living God. And this truth is what has been offensive and caused wars and more wars over and over, and been the death of many of God's dear people that would stick up for the truth and not capitulate to the doctrines of men. And man will preach to man and teach those things that will can't think of the word. In other words, they preach those things that will cause them to be popular with man and be acceptable to them. But the truth is has always been like a two-edged sword, separating the bones and the marrow, as the scripture says. It cuts to the heart. And to those that the Lord is gracious to and gives a new heart, well, then it causes them to repent. But to others, it just hardens and causes them to be more hostile than ever. It never ceases to be a marvel to me that was just less than a half a dozen people in the whole world that Cain killed Abel. And they were the only two boys that we know of, and we know they had sisters. We don't know how many at that time, but to say the least, there was, you know, probably a half a dozen people in the world, had the whole world to themselves. And because Cain's sacrifice was not acceptable to God, it said he was wroth. And the Lord even spoke to him and said, "Why art thou wroth? If thou doest righteousness, will thou not be accepted?" Well, why in the world didn't he fall down and say, "What must I do? What have I done wrong?" But he just got madder. And I sincerely believe that what he would love to have done is to kill God. But he can't do that, so he killed his brother Abel, made in the image of God. And that same spirit of wickedness is in the world today. And when you confront wickedness with righteousness that's taught in the scriptures, it stirs up enmity and strife and sometimes murder and death and suffering of all kinds. But the Lord said that he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. And as long as we stick to our principles and our that which the Lord has given us, we will be saved. That is, we'll be delivered from error, from the prophets of Baal, from those things that destroy our peace and our joy in the Holy Ghost, and those things that it gives us peace of conscience and peace of mind, peace that passeth understanding. And it's only when you have been delivered from the anxieties and the tribulations of a sinful life that you realize how precious this peace is that God giveth. He says, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, but I give unto you." Of course, in another place he says, "I came not to bring peace, but a sword." So he gives peace in here. But when you receive that peace, it causes that enmity out there. And so in that sense, he brings a sword because it sets you against the world and against those that love sin and love the world and want to build their empires and to build up a great image here in the world as though they were somebody of some importance. And when you interfere with that, it causes enmity and strife, wars and rumors of wars and all those things. But thank God for his tender mercies, that whereas that there are many prophets, many false prophets, and many that go after the false prophets, follow them, yet as he has promised, he said that there is a broad road that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. And straight is the way, and narrow is the road that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. And so his teachings is harmonious in all of the scriptures and in all of his ways. That fear not, little flock, it's a father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I heard a man speaking on that scripture the other day, and he was saying that those many that followed the broad road to destruction, he said that was hell. But that has nothing whatsoever to do with hell. That just means that you lose the truth. You are led off into to idol worship, by false prophets and false teachers. And he said there would be many. If there are many, there must be many somewhere. And so there are many false teachers. There were many false prophets, 850 to Elijah's one in his day. So I'd say there must be that many today, false teachers, as compared to the Lord's true teachers of his word. At any rate, that was the example that he gave us in Elijah's day. And the Lord Jesus and all of his apostles that gave us the scriptures were moved by the Holy Ghost. And it was not in a private interpretation. It was not their private. And I've heard these people on television talk about, well, Peter must have had a bad day that day when he got up and wrote that scripture, you know, and prophesied that, said he had a bad day. He wasn't feeling good that day, so he prophesied some bad stuff. And that's just the way they look at it. But isn't it wonderful to be able to pick up the Bible and believe it? And when I read it, and I love to think of when I first began to read the Bible, I was 30 years old for my own self. And I bought every book in the Bible separate so I could carry it around in my shirt pocket. And every opportunity, I'd pull it out and read it. And it never entered my mind that there was anything wrong with it. I soaked it up like a sponge and was so happy with it. So thankful. And I'm thankful today that I do believe, that I understand. I glory in that. He said, if any man glory, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and he knoweth me. A God who is full of mercy, gracious, long-suffering, and full of compassion. May God add his blessings to his precious word and teach us to appreciate the wonderful blessings that he's given us, that we know the truth and have been set free from so many pernicious doctrines and teachings in the world of man that lead you away from the truth and destroys the happiness and peace that you have by knowing the truth. We publish the doors of the church open. Let's sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. And we'll publish the doors of the church open for the reception of members. If there's one or more here today that would love to join the church, we would be glad to hear your confession or your expressions or however you'd like to express yourself in few or many words. 154. Sing, brethren, when you're ready.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Yeah.
because it is Mother's Day, even though I didn't want to go to be with that family. Is any other announcements anybody needs to make?
I had a paper that I read in the front of the meeting parts of the gene. So if you can remember what you can
just talk about it. Fourth Saturday and Sunday in June, church in Martinsville was having their annual meeting. On Saturday, it starts at 10 o'clock Saturday morning, 7:30.
Right.
And,
you're supposed to be there, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be there Saturday.
They have Bob Dixon, Tony Parker, and Donnie Connell.
Wonderful.
And another, of course, was a good church.
Sister Johnson yesterday, she said, tell the church that they had not forgotten us. They hope to be with us next meeting. But usually on Mother's Day, she went to her mother's church up in Stokes County. So,
no.
We'll look forward to seeing them the next time. By the way, let's ask the Lord, this is most kind, merciful Father, it's again. My thank you, dear Lord, for all of our blessings and mercies that we have received from thy hand and through thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, dear Lord, again for thy precious truths that sets us free. And now, Lord, as we take the part in hand, we pray that thou will go with each and every one of us as we go our several ways. Be our light in darkness, our strength and weakness, for we ask it in Jesus' name.
I hope so.